be there. Are you with me? All right. And when all the generation had gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who brought them out of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served the Baals and Ashtaroths. And with anger, the Lord was hot against Israel. So he delivered them into the hands of the plunderers who despoiled them and sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. And whenever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had swore against them. And they were greatly distressed. I think I missed when they went out to war. Or to fight. I missed it. Because I had so many interruptions yesterday. It was great. You can say I just pulled my hair out. It's wonderful. You're too serious. Oh. Okay. Why are we reading about this? About a generation that does not know God. Well, part of our vision is reaching the unchurched and unsaved. And believe it or not, there are people in the church that are not saved. That's the truth. They think they are, but they're not according to the scriptures. And so today I want us to begin to hear some of these basic truths that are in here, because some of us are wrestling with some issues in our lives with family members and friends and co-workers and stuff. And maybe today God will stir your heart to have something to say to them according to the Word of God. Amen? We know that Joshua, as the Scripture says, that Joshua and Caleb and all the elders died off, and there arose a generation of the children of Israel that did not know God. How sad. And they were influenced by all the nations around them to the point where they bowed down to their gods and worshiped their gods, forsaking the God, the great God of all gods, the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. They forsook him. And according to Deuteronomy 28, God had promised that if they forsook God and did evil, that he would be against them. And if you look at Deuteronomy 28 and 29, you see that one chapter deals with blessings, the other deals with the cursings, all coming from God. And it's our choice as to what we wanted to do. And hopefully all of us are choosing Deuteronomy 29, which is all the blessings. Amen? And so what we have here is that all kinds of evil is being done while they're assimilating before the Lord. And you know what? The church has to realize that our evil is before the Lord. He sees what we do. There's no hiding it. And we try to hide it. We try to convince our hearts that we're not doing anything wrong. But the real truth of the matter is, God sees it all. And when he's trying to expose these things, and we're trying to deny it because we got some other thing that's diverting our attention, we have a problem. And that problem is strictly with our heart, with God. And so what I want us to understand is that in these simple little truths, God is not angry with us. He's angry with those who have forsaken him. Those of us that are going on with God, we hear the voice of God, we repent of those issues that God is dealing with us, and we put it under the blood, and we move on, much the same as what's happened with Nick. And it's so wonderful that you just write it down. And a couple of months later, you revisit and find out he's taking care of it. It's kind of like what I said last week in the message of Occupy, that you can't put your foot in the stream and take it out and then put it in, thinking that it's the same water, because that water has moved by. And so what we have here is we have to understand that all the things that are going on in our lives is either through our disobedience to God, because God has now whipped his hand away and he's allowed Satan to come into our lives and begin to start purging those things. And we understand that In the book of Judges, there is a pattern that happens in the book of Judges. And if anyone has read it, the pattern is very simple. Israel sinned. Israel cries out. God brings salvation. There's great silence and rejoicing because God has set a man to be a deliverer for them, a judge, whose whole purpose is to defeat the enemies of God and bring the people of God back to God. And you see this pattern all the way through. And it speaks of our lives. It does. It truly does. It speaks of our lives. We think we got everything under control. But then we find ourselves falling away. We cry out to God when we're in our dire straits. And God sends somebody into our lives to help defeat the enemy and bring us back to God. If you look at your life, you can really see it. When you needed somebody the most, God sent somebody there to either encourage you, to point the direction to where you're going. But what happens to those who don't? And this is what I want to speak of. You see, this generation turned away from God when the last godly generation disappeared. And I can tell you the truth, that if you have no godly male or female speaking into your life, you are more than certain to go back to the way you were. That is the truth, because left unto ourselves, we will return to the vomit that we were spewing out. That's what Scripture says. And so we have to be really careful that, you know what, if we're not taking advantage of the pastor and pastorette, and I'm not speaking of taking advantage for your own gain, but taking advantage of the wisdom that God has placed into them, the gift ministries that we're talking about, how do you know if you're gaining in Christ or you're losing in Christ? How do you know? How do you gauge it? And we saw with going deeper, there are elements in which we can come across into the river of life and see where we are clearly, according to Ezekiel, right? This generation forsook the Lord because there was no godly leadership. And less there was godly leadership, the more and more they went and be found doing what the nations do. They didn't care too much about what was going on. And we have to understand that the Church of Jesus Christ is no longer a church in which it's supposed to sit idly and allow the world to go into a tailspin. The Church of Jesus Christ is to be out there winning souls. And we get in trouble when we sit down and play. We sit down because we don't want to do what God has told us to do. And before we know it, we're so far gone that we have to repent. After we call out on God and He sends somebody to help us, and the pattern starts all over again. God doesn't want us to be repeating the patterns. He wants us to ever be growing and closer in the knowledge and admonition of God. He wants us to be totally surrendered to His will and to do those things that He's called us. He wants us to be out there preaching the good news of the kingdom. Not just talk about Jesus, but preach to the people out there that don't know Jesus Christ and why He came. He didn't come to establish Christianity. I'm sorry to break your theology up, but that's the truth. That's what Scripture tells us. He came to reestablish the kingdom of heaven, not a religion. Man has turned it into religion, unfortunately. And our job as the people of God is we are to war. A warfare of love. And this warfare of love is to take down every argument, every thought, everything that is vain imaginations, that exalts itself above the name of Jesus Christ. We are to war against that and bring it to the captivity into the obedience of Jesus Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6. We are supposed to be trained by fivefold ministry, so that we can succeed in this hostile territory. And if you notice anything with the outgoing administration, there is a lot of hostility going against George Bush because of his Christianity. There is a lot of hostility. And there's going to be even more hostility with Obama coming in. Not because he's proponent, but because of the nature of the world. The world does not want Jesus Christ. But they need to hear about the kingdom. And then they have to make their own decision. And through this training process that we're going to go through, we're going to fight the good fight of faith. We have to understand that we are the answer. The Church of Jesus Christ is the answer to this world. And God is not going to take the church out until we have done our job. Amen? That's the truth. Whether people like it or not, we're going to tell them the truth. We're going to love them in spite of what they're about. We're told to love the sinner but hate the sin. Right. People are going to make decisions, and they're going to make decisions that are always going to be contrary to the will of God. How we respond or react to those decisions will either declare that we're moving in the flesh or we're going to move by the will of God or by the Spirit of God. Amen? Now, when we are removed from godly leadership, or godly leadership is removed from us, we live according to how the world is, because they are the ones that will influence us. Okay? And think about some of the stuff that influences us. TV, radio, music, fashion, literature, worldly. How many of us spend more time in Scripture or listening to godly men and women? How many of us are constantly being filled by the Word of God so we can be built up in our holy faith? How many of us are praying in the Spirit? How many of us understand that we have such a high calling, but we are being trained at this moment? Shortly, we are going to be released into the highways and byways to conduct this warfare. Remember, part of occupying the responsibility of the church to occupy is to do the business of the church. What is the business of the church? Go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them all the things that Jesus has said, and preach the good news of the kingdom. Are we doing it? Are we opening up our mouths? Are we seeking God for opportunities? Are we seeking opportunities for ourselves? Or are we seeking the opportunities? And believe me, what I have said for the last few years is that if your business is about God's business, His business is about your business. And it's so true. The testimonies are telling you these individuals are bent on doing the things for God. It's not God this week because you met my needs and now I'll forget about you. It's God 24/7. And that's what a believer is. A make-believer is whenever for God. Now, Israel was worshiping the heathen and did follow after other gods. And the two top gods that they were following after was the Baals and the Ashtaroths. Now, Baal was a Canaanite god. He was the sun god. And he was worshipped because of his prosperity and destruction. Prosperity in that when their fields and flocks and their businesses were all going good, they would offer up sacrifices, you know, of similar things, of gratitude to Baal. But when destruction came, because he's a sun god, what do you think about drought? And so when drought comes, crops fail, warfare comes in because people want that. There's a lot of hassle going on. And so what happened was the people would begin to look to Moloch, who is one of the Baals, and they would sacrifice their children to this god, of which today the spirit that is behind Moloch is running rampant with the spirit of abortion today. And you just check the scriptures and go through it, and you will see that this is very accurate. That same spirit that was there murdering children in those days now has lied and told us that it's convenient. Take the life, you know. It's very inconvenient to give birth to a child out of wedlock or give birth to a child in wedlock because it's not convenient. It messes up my plans. You know? And so this is what this spirit does. It lies to young women and girls that are caught in this position of compromise. Guys get away real easy. But it's the girls that are left with this. You abort the child, that takes care of the physical aspects of being inconvenienced for 9 months of carrying the child. But what about the emotional scarring that young girl and that woman carries for the rest of their life? And only God can heal them of that. Only God. And I'm sure there's people that we know that are contemplating these things. And they come to us and we don't even share with them what the Lord our God can do. Aren't we condoning what the world's doing? And didn't I say that our job is to pull down all these vain imaginations, arguments, anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Jesus Christ? This is a God of death. And it brings them into this emotional bondage that you know, as we saw in this scripture, this is what God is allowing to happen to a generation that turns away from God. He will leave you. You know, Egypt is always signified to the bondage of the world. And God delivered Israel out of bondage, all bondage, even sickness and disease. We, as part of the kingdom of heaven, have authority, dominion, as Dan was alluding to. And we must exercise that. In Jesus Christ, we have the right to wage war. We have that right. We don't wage war against one another. That's what the enemy does to us. We have a right to wage war against imaginations, arguments, anything that exalts itself against the will of God. And we wage war in love, telling them the truth, so that they may be able to hear the truth and escape the bondage. The other one was Ashtoreth. And this goddess, or goddess, she is the moon goddess of the Canaanites. And she is the goddess of love or sensual pleasure and war. Some of the leaders all the leaders are supposed to be studying this spirit that we're talking about. But it's exemplified through Ahab and Jezebel. If you look at 2 Kings, you will see what this is all about if you're unaware of the story of Ahab and Jezebel. Today we see that behind this spirit, it's motivated with a deviant lifestyle, sexual lifestyle. It's motivated for pleasure. Sex sells, especially in America today. Everything and anything has scantily clad women or suggestive posturing for products that they're trying to sell. You have Maxim magazine, which is a men's magazine that I call soft porn. And then you go all the way to pornography. And as you've heard me say before, you know, 80% of the pastors that are still in the pastorate are struggling with pornography, internet pornography. All but because of this spirit of the Ashtoreth. And because this spirit is running rampant, those who participate in ungodly behavior rejoice in it. They're braggadocious about this position that they're in. And Romans tells us not only do they brag about it, but those who are ungodly condone it and agree with that particular type of lifestyle, of which God is going to punish them. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. What you sow, you're going to reap. How can you be happy for somebody who's walking against the will of God? Who is in continuous deviant sexual behavior. Priest. Abusing their position and taking advantage of young boys and young girls. Men are deviant in their sexual behavior, exhibiting little or no self-control. Homes are being broken because of this. And the innocence of the children is exemplified because homes are being fractured And those kids are growing up creating additional fractures because they know no better. Because there is no standard of God in the lives of the people. And those who are involved in relationships like this actually create shallow and empty relationships. They're given to themselves thinking that, well, if I just give myself to this guy, or if I just had this girl, everything's going to be fine. The fact of the matter is that everything's not going to be fine. What happens is you get ensnared by the behavior. You're brought into bondage. Girls who are promiscuous, have pregnancy, they're ensnared with poverty. We've talked about this, that the younger you are in as a teenager having children, the more likelihood that your success in life is minimized with every child that comes out of that. And this is what's happening to our society. Kids are having multiple kids, having to live with their parents longer. They have no vision for a future. They have no hope. Deadbeat dads don't want a job because then they know they have to become responsible for those children. And God is allowing Satan into the midst. And I'm just talking about America. I'm not even talking about the world. Because this is where our fields are, that we need to go out and get them. God is allowing a generation that does not know Him to be plundered. To be plundered means to have frontal assault, to take by aggression, to take by deception, to steal, to rob, to destroy. And that's what happens to our young people. Their dreams are stolen or destroyed because there is no godly standard. They don't know God. And they're falling into the slavery of the heathen. And we're wondering why things are happening in this country. Why robbery is up. Why crime is up. Why abortion is up. Why teen pregnancy is up. Why there are more children born out of wedlock is up. Because we're forsaking God. We are in the world, we are not like the world, and nor are we to love the things of the world, according to 1 John 2:15. But what do? We buy the goods of the world for ourselves. The big thing right now is all the gaming that's going on. How much time do we waste doing gaming? Is that me or a bird or what? Okay. Gaming is the big thing right now. And we bow down to those video boxes and we're not spending any time with God because they're stealing from us. And we're wondering why our lives are going in the tank. We're wondering why we feel such a separation between God and ourselves. We're wondering why things are not happening as fast as we would want them to happen. We're wondering why. And all we have to see is that we're separating ourselves from God. And that's a generation that doesn't know God, because it's easier for me to sit in front of a... Wow, that's awesome. And the next thing you know, you've wasted a half a day. Call out sick. You know, I'm in the midst of this game. Before you know it, you're ensnared. You're in bondage. They're just distractions. And we need to allow the world to take our distractions away from us so that we can get refocused on what it is that the Lord has called us to do. He's called us to go. He's called us to fulfill the Great Commission. He's called us to fill His house. My job is to train you. Your job is to do it. Didn't get an amen off that one. Every time Israel went out to war, they were defeated. Every time. How many times have we had the opportunity to say something to somebody and we get, I don't know what to say. Pastor, what would you have said? Well, I would have been prepared before I said anything. But this is what I would have said if the Spirit was stirring me. And you guys have seen me in action. You've seen me. I take opportunity. Any chance I can get somebody to bend their ear, I'm talking. Yesterday I was in Today's Men. I was purchasing a birthday present for my son, and one of the tailors was there, and I started talking. His response, I'm not a religious man. I said, neither am I. I'm not about religion. I'm glad we're both on the same line here, buddy. Customer comes in. He says, I'll get back to you. This is good talking with you. He never came back. But that's not going to stop me from planting seed. I'm not going to let the enemy steal from me. I'm not going to let the enemy keep me from doing what I'm supposed to be doing. What about you? What is more important? Winning a soul that could have eternal consequences, or your little self-pity because I just don't have the same things as Judy has out there, you know. God, I need that new makeup case that they have. Or Billy. Man, I wish I had that new Wii game, man. You know, that one, you know, where it's got multiple stuff and I can go on internet and win points and all this other stuff. Don't get me wrong. I believe everybody should have downtime. I just don't think it should be down and out time. Being out of the fight is what I'm talking about. Look at the world. See how much in distress they are. Repo man is coming, taking all the stuff that you bought that's distracting you. People get into dire straits. They run from house to house, place to place, city to city, state to state, trying to beat the guys that they owe money to. Well, in this society, you can't run too far. It's a new thing now. It's called a computer. It has your social security number in it, and they will find you. You only get a temporary reprieve, and you're in bondage until you meet your obligations head on. And we need to tell people this. This is the truth. Only God can help us out of this situation. Only God is able to deliver us. Only God. And you heard it from Jess. She didn't fill out any paperwork, but God has blessed her. Why? She's hell-bent on serving God. She is not going to let the demons stop her from what she needs to get done. She's not allowing someone else to steal something from her. If anything, she's going to kick the teeth in at the devil. And that's what we should be doing. We should be finding solutions in Jesus Christ, not looking for the solutions in men, because all those solutions are just complexities that will cloud the issues and cause us greater distress. That's the truth. Well, you know, I like to go get a job. What can you do? Oh, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? What can you do? What kind of education do you have? Well, I dropped out of school. So you have no education. Do you know what that does to your earning capacity? What do you mean? It limits you to earning anything you need to get a high school diploma. Well, I could always go get my GED. Yeah, you could. But it's a lot easier to get your diploma because you're already there. GED is going to cost you a few bucks and time and effort and study that you should have been doing from the beginning. Well, you know, I had other things on my mind. I had important things. Like what? Hanging out with my boys. You know,
Me and my boys, we're out there, we're going to start a new musical group called the What Happenings. We don't know what's happening, but we're What Happening. Okay, fine. Because you're not happening. You're in a car waiting to fall off the cliff, and all you need is Satan to push it just a little bit more. Don't you have a dream? What do you want to do? Well, I wanted to be a basketball player. No. I mean a real dream. You see, those people who have the talent are using the talent to fulfill those dreams. What is it that you would really want to be? Oh, you're going to laugh at me. Well, try me. I want to be a veterinarian. Okay. That's a great thing. But you got to have education. You got to go to school. You can't just go watch CSI and become a detective in what do they call it? Forensics. You got to study. The word says study to show yourself approved. Workmen need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You got to study. Anything that you want to become, you have to study and prepare to be. And the world is telling this generation that doesn't know God, don't listen to the religious people out there. They don't know what they're talking about. They're fanatics for Jesus. Do you believe? They're fanatics. They're wackos. Yeah, like I'm going to tell you guys to drink some Kool-Aid, and we're going to wait for the next comet to come by because we're all going to jump on it. That's a wacko. They don't know what's happening. And most importantly, they don't know God. They don't know God. We need not be afraid. We need to take a stand for God. We need to open up our mouths and be courageous. Every one of us has something we can give. And when we give that away, we go to God and get more. It's not just material goods. It can be just a little bit of time, spending some time with somebody. Talking to them, trying to encourage them. Well, you know what? It's just too hard to be Christian. I think it's harder to be a heathen. Because when I was a heathen, I was constantly at the grindstone trying to make my life happen. Now I'm just in the river waiting for God to take me wherever He wants to take me. And I'm willing to go there. I've learned to stop fighting God. So what can we say? What can we look at today to wrap this up? What can we say? Without godly leadership, we are destined to revert. Without godly leadership, we will follow other gods. We will bow down to them. And God will be against us. We have to realize that the generation before us, the power of the Spirit that they had, the experiences that they had in God, we cannot enter into the kingdom any further than the door. Stand at the door. Because we need to cultivate our own experiences in God. We can't get in by our parents' coattails. It just can't. We need to cultivate that relationship with Jesus Christ. And we need to have the experiences in God. And how do we get those experiences? Then getting out there. Getting out there and sharing what you have been given. And see what happens. We're sowers. We're throwing stuff out there. We're using the life that God has given to us. And it's no longer our life. It's His life that He wants us to give away. And if we try to hold on and not speak of those things, we lose that life. Isn't that the word says? You seek to save your life, you'll lose your life. But if you lose your life for me, you shall save your life. And then He gives us a promise. He gives us a promise. Anybody know the promise?
tell you what the promise is? In the Word. Find it yourself. I know what the promise is, and I'm telling people, even if they don't want to hear, I'm flapping my lips, I'm going to tell them. Because that's my responsibility to tell them the truth. I don't have to live their lives. But I can tell people the truth that if you go down this highway to hell, this is what's going to happen to you. Because you don't know God. You don't know what He's about. You don't know what He's trying to save you from and bring you to. He's trying to bring you into a life that is filled with abundance. We need to tell them that. Without godly leadership in our lives, we will forsake God and follow other gods that celebrate prosperity, sensuality, and war. And what do we have today? You look at everything. The world is telling us what we need because we deserve it. The world uses sex as advertising and promotes sensuality without any kind of repercussions. And if you can't get it, fight for it. Go to war. Steal it if you have to. It's okay. But God says, you don't have to seek for it. You don't have to fight for it. I'll give it to you freely. No charge. If your life is in distress, if you're starting to see some of these things in here, you may have been bowing down to these Baals and Ashtaroths. If your family's falling apart, you may have bowed down to the Baals and Ashtaroths. But you know what? There's always hope in Jesus Christ. There's never an end to the hope in Jesus Christ. He is able to do that which He says, to deliver us from the end and bring us into a life flowing in milk and honey. To continue to walk in this lifestyle is to allow the raiders to come in, steal from you, put you into bondage, and take everything while you forsook the one who loved you more than the world could ever proclaim. We need to repent and get clean from the contaminations of the world and return to God. Commit it. Consecrate it. Humble. Walking humble before God and living according to His will. Because you have nothing to say to anybody unless your life begins to reflect the life of Jesus Christ. The God of this world is blinding the minds of men. And very shortly, we're going to go to war. We're going to go into highways and byways. We call that evangelism. And to be truthful with you, I've learned the lessons of Achan. We're not going to be defeated. We're going to stomp on devils and demons. We're going to win the loss. We're going to tell them the truth. We're going to infiltrate and take the land. We're going to cause demons to tremble when we walk in there. We're not going to be any longer afraid of them because they can't hurt us. They can only deceive us and intimidate us. But once you know who you are and your life starts lining up and you're filled with all the glory of God within you, because that's where the hope of glory is in you. And you're so filled with the Spirit of God that we're not going to be like the seven sons of Sceva, where they said, we cast you out in the name of Jesus Christ that Paul preaches. And the demon said, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but I don't know you dudes. And those demons beat those guys senseless, ripped up their clothes and sent them out in the streets naked. Guess what? We're taking dominion. There's a new sheriff in town. It's called Jesus. And we're going to tell this generation that doesn't know about God.
We're going to tell them about the kingdom. We're going to tell them the benefits of the kingdom. We're going to tell them how benevolent our King is. We're going to tell them that, you know what, we're going to pray. If you're sick, we're going to lay hands on you, and you're going to recover. We're going to tell them the truth, because everywhere you set your foot, you have dominion. God has given you power and authority beyond measure that you can ever ask or imagine. You have more power in your little finger than you really realize. And all it's going to take is faith. This generation needs us. And God's not going to call us out until we do our job. And so this escape theology that's running rampant through the Church of Jesus Christ today, that, you know what, just hold on tight, church. Hold on. Jesus is coming. Then you can escape in the rapture. I would rather be one working in Father's field, found faithful, than sitting on the wayside hoping to escape. Because work doesn't hurt anybody. It only builds you up and makes you stronger. And the things of the kingdom, we have all the strength that we ever need, and that's in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So go and preach to them. Go tell them. Don't be ashamed of your Lord and God. Make them ashamed. Make them feel convicted, and then help them to repent and come back to God and see what happens. Amen? Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for your spirit. I thank you for the kingdom, God, and the authority and power you have given to us in Jesus' name. Father, may this generation rise up and take its place. That we not be a generation, God, afraid to be who you create us to be. But God, we be a fearless generation. A generation that would be like Jehu, Lord, that once they got the call, they would not stop until the call was fulfilled. God, I pray for your people today, God. I bind up that spirit of fear and intimidation. I bind up that spirit that would keep the mouths of your people shut, Lord. And I loose a spirit of praise and adoration, God. May your spirit of truth be filled in our mouths, Lord God, that we would have a word in season or out of season, God, ready to meet all comers, God. That we would bring them in, God, that we would compel them, that their only hope is in you, Father, through faith in Jesus Christ's finished work. God, help us to nail more and more of our lives to the cross, that we die, God, and that your life may be seen through us. Father, cause the church to rise up. Cause this church to be a stone in the midst to create a tsunami of the Spirit like never before, that it would encircle the world, Lord, bringing in a harvest that would ultimately fill your house. And until that time, God, we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.